Reverend, it's a joy for me to be standing before you this morning to share the word of God with you. So, Reverend, for the next 3 weeks, I want us to look at the life of Apostle Paul. And how God used him. And what lessons we can learn from his life. So I want us to see the glory of God in the life of this man. I want us to see what God is able to do with a man who is broken before him. I want us to see what God is able to accomplish with a man who realizes his sinfulness. What God can do with a man who is fully dependent upon him. To see that this man gave his life fully to God, and what did God do then with him? And also to see, as Christians, how we should live our lives following in the pattern of this man's life. So this man, Paul, said, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." So he said that he was trying to be like Christ, and we should try to be like him so that we can be like Christ. So I will try to bring the principles we can learn as we try to be like Paul and try to be like Jesus Christ. So that we can know what pattern of life we should be living if we want to be like this man. So we can ask ourselves then, do people see Christ's life in our lives? So we can ask ourselves, if we claim to live according to Christ, why do we not see the same fruits that way in the ministry of Apostle Paul? So I do not want us to just learn from this man's life, but to be challenged to be like him. I want us to be challenged to live for God as much as this man lived for God. I want us to give up every sin or every idol that we have that keeps us from living the same life that Paul lived. And I want us to see that the same God that Paul served is the same God even today. And I want us to see that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he is still the same God who is attentive to our prayers and is willing to listen to us when we avail ourselves to him. So this week I want us to look at the glory of God in Paul's salvation. And the following weeks, I want us to look at the glory of God in Paul's ministry. And the glory of God in Paul's suffering. So this week, let's read in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1. Chapter 1 from verse 12 to verse 17.
Timothy wa pili, chapter 1, verse 12 to 17.
As we look at the glory of God in Paul's salvation,
Harisheba mudimu bopulusong ya Paulus.
1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 to 17.
Timothy wa pili, chapter 1, verse 12 17.
Paul here writing to Timothy says, I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, an insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
May we close our eyes as I pray. Oh Lord, indeed there is nothing better than to know you. That is why, oh Lord, even as we are preaching, we don't just to know your word, but we want to know you, the God of the word, that you may reveal yourself to us, O Lord, that you may leave this place, O Lord, having had an encounter with you, having known you. So help us, O Lord, speak to us these words, O Lord, that will echo down throughout eternity. These words, O Lord, that you have given to us, O Lord, for the salvation of the people. These words, O Lord, that are powerful, O Lord, to break a hardened heart and soften it, O Lord, and turn it into a heart of flesh. So help us, O Lord, to learn from this life of Paul, this man, O Lord, who gave his whole being to you, that you may get glory from him. So help us, O Lord, to learn from him, that we may desire you the same way that he desired you. That this, O Lord, may just not be like a lecture where we learn and go home, O Lord, but it may be a challenge for us to desire you, to live more and more and more, O Lord, with a desire that you may show yourself to us. Help us, O Lord, as your people, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So, brethren, Paul here says, I was a blasphemer.
Paulo Simona,
he says, I was a persecutor of the church of God. He says, I acted in ignorance and I acted in unbelief. You would think that Paul here, the things that he's saying are not so bad. But then he goes again and says, I am the foremost sinner. In another version, in King James Version, he says, I am the chief of sinners. Now to understand the work that God has done in this life, you need to understand why this man calls himself the chief of sinners. So what Paul is saying is that if ever there was a ranking of worst sinners, I will be on top of that list. He is saying that's how bad my sins are. Then if you look at Paul in that way, then you are able to admire the glory of God in his salvation. You are then able to glorify God because of what he has done in the life of Paul. And you are then able to understand why Paul says, I am an example of those who will believe. And then you are then able to understand in verse 17 why this man saying this prayer of worship. So, brethren, I want us to see three things that we can learn from the salvation of Apostle Paul.
But
the first thing, Paul was the worst of sinners. And second thing, to see the sovereignty of God in Paul's salvation. And also to see that Paul is an example of what God can do with sinners. So let's look at the first point here, that Paul was the worst of sinners. So brethren, the work that God accomplished in the life of Apostle Paul is an amazing work. His life was like those movies that you lives that you only see in movies. His life was such that many people were amazed by it. People could not believe just how Paul's life had turned out to be. His life was expected to turn in a different direction, but it went in the opposite direction. Here was a man who was a Pharisee, a follower of Judaism. A man who was proud in his religion. A man who was probably having an ambition of one day he will want to be a high priest. He was proud to be a Jew, and he believed that only Jew had this grace of God revealed to them. And he defended his Jewish religion with all his being. And he was proud of his Jewish customs. So this man was a man who had a zeal for religion. But his zeal was without knowledge. And all his zeal did was make him an enemy of God. In his zeal, he found himself poking God in his eye, as it were. He found himself being an active enemy of God. No wonder then in verse 13 of our text, he says, I acted ignorantly in unbelief. Because he then realizes that all he thought was making him good was actually making him bad in the eyes of God. In the book of Acts chapter 22, he tells of how he was going from synagogue to synagogue imprisoning Christians. He tells of how he terrorized Christians and they feared him. And whenever the name of Paul was mentioned, Christians' hearts would melt with fear. And he made Christians to run away from Jerusalem to go to far away cities. Even when they left Jerusalem, he still chased after them. This man personally persecuted many Christians. He personally beat many Christians. He personally imprisoned many Christians. His hand was against the very salvation of God. He was determined to rid the world of the testimony of Christ. His desire was to make sure that there is not even a single Christian that exists. His heart was filled with hate and murderous thoughts. Then many Christians lived in fear because of him. Every Christian knew who Paul was. Even those in the far city of Damascus knew about Paul and they feared Paul. They had heard of what he had done in Jerusalem and they feared that he was going to do the same thing in Damascus. And when Paul was saved on the way to Damascus, Christians were still afraid of him. They could not believe that this man who was a persecutor of the church could now be saved. They still did not know what to expect from him, even when he said he was now a Christian. And we learned that even those in Jerusalem, when they heard that Paul was saved, they still did not believe. It took them time to be able to believe that indeed Paul was saved. This man, Paul, testifies of how he was there when Stephen was killed. He says, when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I stood there giving my approval and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. So, brethren, Stephen was stoned to death for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And this man, Paul, was there cheering those people who were murdering him. He was there making sure that this murder goes according to plan. He was proud that a man that he fought was a heretic was being killed. And he went out seeking to kill even more people that he thought were heretics. He thought he was doing God a favor. That he was being obedient to the commandments of Moses, that those who do not hold to the law of Moses should be stoned to death. No wonder then Paul says, I was a blasphemer and a persecutor of the church of Jesus Christ. That's why he says, I am the chief of sinners. As he looks back to his old life, his heart is broken over his past sins. He is not saying these things to boast so that people can look at him. He's saying these things to his shame. He is ashamed of how sinful he was and he wishes that he never did any of these things. No wonder then he says, I acted ignorantly in unbelief. He is saying, I was blind to the truth of God. I thought I knew what was right, but I did not know what was right. I thought I was serving God, but I was actually blaspheming him. I thought I was killing heretics while I myself was a heretic. I thought I was right with God when in actual fact I was headed for hell.
Ke ne ke nahana hore ke tsamaya le modimo gantse ke nna ke tsamayang ke yang diheleng.
So brethren, none of you who are here can never compare to how sinful this man was.
How na yo ko yaleng teng ha ra rona ya ka ya ka re mhlomo o ke metsa dibia le kana le monna ona.
This was a man who opposed God to his face.
Monna ona ona amelane le modimo.
His was the most damnable of sins. Had he succeeded in his motive of destroying Christians, then you and I would not be sitting here. Paul's intention was to make sure that Christian does not grow, does not go to different cities.
Msebenzi wa Paulo sono luyetsa hore badumedi baske batswella pele ditunotseding.
His intention was to make sure that the name of Jesus Christ does not even get mentioned anywhere ever again.
Msebenzi wa hai no luyetsa hore libitso lena la Jesu Kriste le skala utlwa tulo engwe hape.
He wanted to kill Christianity before it even started.
Una batla ho bulaya badumedi pele botsana.
You see, all these other people who opposed Christianity were not like Paul.
Wa bona ba tswa ba ngata ba lo ring ba emelana le lo Kriste ha ba ne ba sa tshwane le monna ona Paulus.
They are trying to kill dead which is already alive and known.
Ba le ka o bolaya se se phelang se lo re se setse ba hang.
They are trying to kill Christianity that is already all over the world.
Ba le ka o bolaya bo Kriste bo lo se buli teng le fatseng lohle.
But this man wanted to destroy Christianity before it spreads into the world.
Empa monna ona ba tle o bolaya bo Kriste le pele botsala.
So that there cannot be anyone who hears that there was even this Christianity. That's why then he calls himself the chief of sinners. When he looks at his actions and he thinks that had God not intervened, where would I have been? No wonder then he is compelled to praise God for his salvation. When he thinks of people who will have been lost had he succeeded in his missions, he praises God. He's thankful to God that God saved him even as he was going in his murderous act. So Paul then realizes how much he owes God the praise. He then realizes how much he owes God his very life. And this explains why Paul lived the way he lived. As we'll see in the next 2 weeks, if you look back at what we have just looked at now, you will then understand why he loved God so much. He will then understand why he was able to endure suffering for the name of Jesus Christ. Because he realized that he owed his very life to God. Are you the one who is grateful for God for saving you? When you look at where you would have been, do you praise God? When you look at what your sins could have accomplished had God not saved you, do you praise Him? Is your heart then full of worship for God and you are then determined to live for Him? Because that is what happened with Apostle Paul. His sins were so great and his life for Christ was even greater.
La
Jesu le le feta dibetsa hae. So brethren, let's look at the second thing that we see in this text. The sovereignty of God in Paul's salvation. So brethren, as Paul was going around seeking Christians to imprison and to persecute, he did not know that God was working in his life. As he was standing in Jerusalem and Stephen was being stoned, he did not know that God was working even in there. As this man, Stephen, was dying, he said a prayer to God. He said, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And Stephen did not know that God will indeed answer this prayer. That a young man called Saul will indeed be forgiven of this sin. That this man who will one day become Paul will be forgiven of this sin because of what God has done. So in the midst of this murder being happening, God was working the work of his salvation in this man. In this dark cloud of the history of Christianity, God was calling Paul to himself. As Stephen was dying, feeling the pain of death, God used his mouth to say a prayer for this man. And years later, as this man was walking to
Damascus,
God finally answered the prayer of Stephen.
This
same man saw the light coming from heaven and said, why are you persecuting me, Paul? Then the light of the gospel shined in his life. And now writing to Timothy, Paul is now an old man, ready to die for the gospel himself. And then he says, I thank him who has given me strength, Jesus Christ our Lord. Because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. So now this same man who hated Jesus Christ and imprisoned anybody who believed in him is the one who is now giving him praise. He is the one who is now says, I thank Jesus Christ who has given me strength. He says, I thank him who has appointed me to his service. So brethren, this man was now a new creature. His old life had gone and behold, he had now had a new life. He was no longer Saul, he was now Paul. He was no longer a hater of Christ, he was now a servant of Christ. He was not trying to silence those who believe in Christ, he was not trying to encourage many to believe in Christ. He was no longer acting ignorantly in unbelief. He was now seeing the grace of God in his life. No wonder then he says, the grace of our Lord overflowed for me. With the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. He now sees that he did not deserve to be treated kindly by God. But God is treating him kindly anyway. He is realizing that he has found favor from God that he did not deserve. He is realizing that even though his sins were so great, but the grace of God overflowed from him. He says the grace of our Lord overflowed for me. So the grace of the Lord was more than enough for his great sins. He not only sees the grace of the Lord towards him, but he sees the love that Christ Jesus has for him. He sees the love that Christ Jesus has for him. The same Christ Jesus that he persecuted when he persecuted his church, he is the same one that is now overwhelmed by his love. His heart is so overwhelmed by this grace and love of God that he exclaims. He says the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. This chief of sinners now is the one who is heralding the word of God. This is the same man now who is worshipping Christ and telling others of the grace that is found in Christ. He is saying to Timothy, listen Timothy, this is the truth and nothing but the truth. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save me. Me who is the chief of sinners. Brethren, there is no more worship than this chief of sinners to worship him who has forgiven his sins. There is nothing greater on this earth than seeing great sinners bowing their knees to the Christ who has saved them. Brethren, these are not just words to Paul. These words hurt him in his heart. He must have written these words with tears in his eyes. This is not some poetry that he is writing, but he's pouring his heart out to Timothy. He is overcome with worship for God. He realizes that only God could have gotten him this far. He realizes that only God has brought about this change in his life. He realizes that if it wasn't for God, he would have perished. He realizes that he could not have repented from his sins unless God shined the light of his gospel in his heart. No wonder then in verse 17 he comes and worships God. He says to the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
So Paul is giving glory to the one who deserves it for his salvation, God.
He's
saying, I am what I am because of what God has done in me.
He's
saying, let all glory go to God. Let all honor go to God. Let him be honored for saving me. Let him be praised for the work of salvation that he performed in my life. So this man was overwhelmed by the grace of God. No wonder he lived a life of suffering for Christ. No wonder he cared nothing about his life except that God may be glorified in it. All this happened because God is sovereign in salvation. All this happened because salvation belongs to our God. Because it is God who saves and it is Him only who deserves the glory. So lastly, brethren, let's look at our fact that we see here. This which we see in verse
16.
That Paul is an example of what God can do with sinners. So verse 16 says, but I received mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. So here, brethren, Paul says he received mercy from God so that he could be an example to those who will believe. He's saying he is an example of the perfect patience of God to those who will believe. Paul is saying, look at how God has dealt with me. Look at how merciful he was to me. Look at how God has loved me even though I persecuted his church. Look at how he forgave my sins, even though I was the chief of sinners. Then he says, if God has done this for me, he can do for you. He's saying, I am an example of the mercy of God. And because I am an example of the mercy of God, you do not have to wonder what God can do with you. You do not have to ask yourself if God can forgive your sins because he has forgiven mine. He's saying, I was the worst sinner around, but God forgave me. And if God can forgive me as the worst sinner, he can forgive you. Brethren, it was convenient for Paul to be a chief of sinners and for God to forgive him. Because people who committed certain sins will have been wondering if God can forgive them. But now, because Paul was such a chief of sinners, nobody has to wonder if God can forgive them. No
There is not a human alive today who have to wonder, can God forgive me for my sins? Because if God forgave this chief of sinners, surely he can forgive small people who sinned. A prostitute does not have to wonder if God can forgive her. A mass murderer does not have to wonder if God can forgive him. A rapist does not have to wonder if God can forgive him. A false prophet does not have to wonder if God can forgive him. An adulterer does not have to wonder if God can forgive him. Because here was the chief of sinners and he was forgiven. Here was the man who tried to destroy that which God was building and God forgave him. So Paul says God displayed perfect patience towards me so that I may be an example. So you see, brethren, God did not save Paul immediately when Stephen prayed that prayer. When these Christians that Paul was persecuting, when they were fleeing Jerusalem, they prayed to God for grace for Paul. They must have made many prayers. Say, God, look at this man who is persecuting us. But God did not act immediately. He exercised perfect patience. God knew that he will save Paul, and he knew when he will save Paul. Now this is something that we can learn as God's people as well. As you are praying for your family to be saved, you need to remember that God has perfect patience. As you are praying for them day and night, you should not be discouraged. Because God, in His time, He will answer your prayer. But as for you who are not saved, you must not think that God will tolerate your sins any longer. You must not think that God will give you more time that you may sin some more. Instead, you must realize that now is the day of salvation. That today is the day of God's favor. That as you are hearing that God is able to forgive even the chief of sinners, you need to cry out for Him. And you need to realize that you do not have to remain in your sins anymore. So, brethren, as we are closing, let me close like this. That this God we serve delights in saving sinners. That the worst sinners around, the better He will forgive them. That you do not have to fix yourself up before you come to Him for forgiveness of your sins. That you need to come to God just as you are. That there is no sins that God is unable to forgive. We read in the book of Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18. God says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord.
He says, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are as red as crimson, they shall become like wool. So, brethren, God is in the business of saving the worst of sinners. And this Bible is full of examples of people who have been saved by God. We see many people who committed bad sins being forgiven by God. King David was one such a man.
He was
the man who killed another man so that he can have his wife. But in Psalm 103, he says, God does not deal with us according to our sins. He says, God does not repay us according to our iniquities. But he says, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love for those who fear him. He says, as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. And that the Lord shows compassion to his children. That the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. So we learn then, brethren, that there is no sin that God cannot forgive. That when men come to him with repentance and faith, he is able to forgive their sins. So then we learn that God can take a filthy man, a very sinful man, and turn his life around. That God can take any man, regardless of how sinful he is, and he can wash him with the blood of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That God is able to get glory from the worst of sinners in this world. That we learn that your past is irrelevant when it comes to God, that God can set you free from your sins. That God has perfect patience. He is long-suffering, not seeking anyone to perish. That then we need to be encouraged even for our families as we pray for them. But most importantly, we need to learn from this story of Apostle
Paul.
We need to remember where God took us from. We need to remember that garbage of sin where we come from. And then we need to live our lives as living sacrifices to God. And then we need to worship God for the salvation that he has accomplished in our lives. That then we need to thank him who has made us and turned us into his children. That we need to thank him who has forgiven us our sins. But that also we must live lives worthy of the salvation that we have received. That our lives must show that we are grateful to God because he has forgiven us our sins. But as for you who are not saved, why do you still insist to remain in your sins? Why do you not learn from this man, Paul? That even though he hated Jesus Christ, but one day he repented from his sins. That he cried out to God for mercy. That you also need to cry out to God for mercy. Tell God that, God, I acted ignorantly in unbelief. So look towards me then with your mercy and forgive my sins. Plead with God that he may wash your sins. So that one day you may speak like Paul. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save me. Me who was the chief of sinners. May we close our eyes and pray. We thank you, O Lord, for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that you have sent into the world to come and save sinners, of whom we are the chief. O Lord, you know where we were. You know the kind of sins, O Lord, we were addicted to. But, O Lord, you redeemed us from them. So may then we be like this man, Apostle Paul, live lives, O Lord, worthy of the calling that you have called us to. May we then, O Lord, worship you and glorify you through our lives. May our hearts, O Lord, be full of worship, that we may speak like him, O Lord, and say to the King of glory, immortal, invisible, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, be glory and honor forever and ever. Amen.